Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I'm thankful for that. Have you found your place in Luke chapter number 2? Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 2, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to go to verse number 8 and pick up reading in verse number 8. The Bible said this, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid." The Bible said in verse number 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be like this to all people." I'm glad that Jesus just didn't come for an elect few, but he came for all people, amen. It says in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I want to look at verse number 11 when I get there in just a minute and center in on what the Bible said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There's three different names that's made mention right there: Savior, Christ, and Lord. And I want to look at those when I get there here in just a minute. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. God, thank you for being good to us. God, thank you for our church, the people that makes it up. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today, God, as we look into your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us to preach with power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Save that sinner closest to hell, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. The book of Luke, whenever you come to it, you'll find that it's our Lord's journey as the Son of Man. Matter of fact, the key verse in the book of Luke is chapter number 19 and verse number 10, where the Bible said this, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty amazing verse right there to me. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, come to seek and save that which was lost. That's you and I today, and the purpose of Jesus coming was to save us from our sins. Amen. When we come to chapter number 2, we are told of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning verses of it. And when we come to verse number 8, there's the shepherds that is abiding in the field. Let's note a few things about them by way of introduction. Note the faithfulness of the shepherds. They was abiding in their place. Now, watch this. There is the flocks of the shepherd, keeping watch over their flock. Keeping watch over their flock. Now, I've thought about this many times, and you may not have, but I have. Why did Jesus make reference to not only the shepherds, but to the flock? He makes specific reference to this flock that they're watching over. I began to study on it over the past few weeks, and here's what I found out. The historians say that the sheep used for many of the sacrifices of the temple in Jerusalem, which was only about 6 miles away from Bethlehem, were raised near Bethlehem. How fitting that the angel announced the coming of Christ, the Lamb of God, to the shepherds raising sheep who, in their sacrifices, portrayed Christ. You see, those shepherds was raising sheep that could have potentially been taken for a sacrifice. Oh, but a man named Jesus shows up on the scene that all throughout the Old Testament they prophesied that one day he would come. And guess what? Now the darling Lamb of God, oh yes, shows up on the scene to die for the sheep instead of the sheep dying for him. There's the favor of the shepherds. Have you ever thought about this? Why did Jesus pick the shepherds to go to? Why didn't he go to, let's think about it this way. Why didn't he go to the religious leaders? Or why didn't he go to this group or to that group? He went to the lowly shepherds. I think personally the reason he done that was showing us that he was speaking to all the world. There's the fear in the shepherds. And it's where I want to look at for just a second. The fear that's in the shepherd. What did the Bible say? The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. They were sore afraid. Now, you ever thought about why was they afraid? They were shepherds. They was in the field. This is what they done. It was, I'm sure it wasn't their first night staying out in the field. Why was they afraid? Well, if it had been in our day, Brother Mark, we'd have said there was a UFO. There was a bright light shone down out of heaven. If you're laying out in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden a bright light shines out of heaven on you, you're probably for a moment going to be afraid also. I began to think about their fear. I thought about this, the cause of their fear. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Suddenly in the darkness of the night, a bright light appeared along with an angelic creature. They were frightened that night, and I would say this, we probably would have been too. The character of their fear, they were sore afraid. This was a great fear, not a slight scare. The fact is, it was shepherds who were afraid of something that they normally are used to being outside. Maybe it seemed that their day was going as normal or their night was. And all of a sudden, this fear comes in their life. Note verse number 10, what the Bible said. The angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not. I thought about this. When you think about the way the angels addresses this shepherds that night. Think about this. There was the command. I'm headed somewhere, but I want you to understand the importance of this verse. There was the command in the statement. They said, fear not. This command was also given to Zacchaeus in Luke 1 and to Mary in Luke 1. When the angel gave them the divine announcement, this command would be difficult to obey because in the flesh they was afraid. But can I tell you something? Whenever we are doing the will of God, there's no reason to fear. Obeying the will of God is not always easy. Are you with me? And I'm detouring, and for just a second I'm going to come back to this. But doing the will of God is not always easy, but doing the will of God is always right. Their fear, the command in the statement, they said, fear not, but think about the comfort in the statement. Behold, I bring you good tidings. This news would help them to fear not. Matter of fact, the words translated, bring you good tidings. Listen to this. Is the word that gives us the English word evangelize or evangelism. You see, the reason that they didn't have to fear that night is because someone had came on the scene. The angels was announcing someone had came on the scene to help them. I thought about this, the cheer in the statement. They said, we bring you good tidings of great joy. The news of Jesus Christ is the greatest cause of joy that can be known to mankind. I want to go back and think about that where he said, fear not. Why did they not have to fear? Here's the reason that they didn't have to fear. Because Jesus had arrived on the scene. And the Bible said this in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What the angels were saying was, there's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be upset. You see, we know what's going on, and there's a man named Jesus that has arrived on the scene. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's God incarnated into man, and you don't have to fear. Now I want to, for the next few minutes, look at these three names that they mentioned to the shepherds. They said this in verse number 11. Let's look at verse 10 again. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people." Now, I wonder whenever they got to the end, that angel got to the end of that statement, I wonder if he paused for a little bit to see if they would inquire of this good news. You ever had somebody start telling you something and then all of a sudden they stop and it seems the conversation's ended and you're hanging on the ledge wanting to know the rest of the story? Maybe this angelic being, I don't know, but just maybe they pause for just a minute. And the shepherds, we know not everything's recorded. Maybe the shepherd says, "Well, what is the good news?" Can I say something to you today? We have good news. You say, "Preacher, you don't know where I'm at in my life. You don't know what I'm faced with in my life. You don't know what I'm going through in my life." Hear me and hear me well. I've got good news this morning. You say, "Preacher, it's really dark in my life right now." I've got good news this morning. You say, "Preacher, the storm is really raging in my life right now." I've got good news this morning. You say, "Preacher, it seems everything is going backwards in my life." Hear me and hear me well. I've got good news this morning. They said, "Well, what is the good news?" "Well, come back next Sunday morning. Let's stand." No, I'm just speaking. What is the good news? Here it is, Brother Jim. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." Didn't say a baby. You ever thought about that? Didn't refer to him as a baby. Didn't say Joseph's son, because it wasn't Joseph's son. Didn't say a good lady has gave birth by the name of Mary. No, here's what it said, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, they was afraid. They was upset. They didn't know what was going on. But thank God for that angelic being that said, "I've got good news." Let's look at these three things and we'll go home and eat chicken. No, we got ham today, don't we? Not chicken, we got a honey-baked ham. Somebody say, "Thank God for honey-baked ham." And tomorrow morning, thank God somebody, I think it's Brother Matthew and Michelle, give us that fruit basket, and it looked like all healthy, and I got to digging in it, and thank God there's some whole hog country ham in it. Somebody say amen. And tomorrow morning, whether Leslie likes it or not, I'm the man at my house. We cooking country ham and a whole hog sausage. See, she can't say nothing right now because there's 250 people watching her. But boy, when we get home, you got anything? You got some bologna at your house? I might not have ham today. Number one, watch this. Savior. Savior. Boy, what a title. What a title. Savior. I thought about this. Savior is the title of acceptance. It's the title of acceptance. What did the Bible say in chapter number 19 and verse number 10? And I read it to you just a second ago, but let me flip over there. I could probably quote it. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He came to set the sinner free." Why did Jesus come to earth today? Jesus just didn't come to earth to heal the sick and to make the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Jesus just didn't come to earth to perform all the miracles that he did, to walk on the water and turn the water into wine, and to feed probably 25 to 30,000 with five loaves and two fishes. Here's the reason Jesus came to earth today. He came to be a Savior. You see, whenever man is born, we're born in the image of Adam, and we take on an Adamic nature. We're sinners by birth today, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and because of that we do not have a fellowship or a relationship with God. Oh, but aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ came to this earth, and the reason that he came was to bring us acceptance to God. Think about this. He came for those who no one else wanted. In Mark chapter number 2, verse number 17, the Bible said this: when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Savior, it's a title of acceptance. As Savior, Jesus provided three essential services to the sinner. Watch this. We are accepted in Him. The Bible said this in Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. We are delivered in Him. Listen to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What about this? We are preserved in Him. John 6:37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, the Savior is our acceptance today. We're accepted before God through Jesus today. We can never talk to God on our own. We're accepted today because of Jesus. The only reason that I'll ever enter in to heaven is because of Jesus. The only reason that I'll ever abode in heaven is because of Jesus. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to get way over 99% of the people's head right here. But the only reason I'm going to come back riding on a white horse one day is because of Jesus. Amen. Every bit of it today, the only reason we can talk to God, the only reason is because of our acceptance through our Savior. Number one, Savior is the title of acceptance. Number two, I told y'all I'm going to preach on when I got there. Number two, Christ. He said Savior, which is Christ. Savior is the title of acceptance, but Christ is the title of access. It's the title of access. The child came to do more than provide a simple salvation. He came to allow us access into the very presence of an almighty God. I'm about to get happy on my own preaching. He came so that I could have access, not just be accepted by God. I'm accepted by God through Jesus. But because of Jesus, I have access to God. I got up this morning and I done something that nobody ever needs to do. My mother-in-law, I got the best mother-in-law in the world. And my mother-in-law made this great big thing of, what's that stuff called? Chex Mix. I mean, a great old big one. And yesterday afternoon, Leslie and I went and exercised a while. When we come back, I was starving to death, Brother John. She fixed supper and I ate supper, and it didn't. Thank God for the supper, but it didn't do nothing. I ate one of them big old oranges. It didn't help none. I was trying to stay halfway healthy. And then it got past that. Are you with me? It got past that. I had to have something besides that. And I ended up sneaking around and found some chocolate. And I ate that. And when I got done with that, I ate a bowl of cereal. Then I eat a popsicle, and it was Cheerios with almond milk, because Cheerios is good for your heart. And then I seen that big old bowl of Chex Mix sitting there, and it said, "For Jonathan." Means ain't nobody else supposed to be in it. If you was to go down there this morning and look at that big old bowl of Chex Mix, there's about that much left in the bottom of it. If you want to set up all night with acid reflux, you eat a great big bowl, Bailey, of Chex Mix at 8 o'clock at night. So this morning I didn't wake up, I just got up. I never even made it to the bed. I was still on the recliner. And I walked outside as the sun started coming up. I was going to walk up here to the church and pray a few minutes. And as I started walking up to the church, I don't know if anybody else seen this. Brother Josh said he was in the bed. I didn't ask him. I don't know if anybody else seen this or not, But you want to talk about a beautiful sunrise this morning. Man, I started walking up the hill and I saw that sunrise. And I thought, man, what a beautiful day to be in the Lord's house. And then I thought this, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come back. What a great day for the Lord to come back. And as I started on up the hill, I started something like this. God, thank you that I'm able to walk up this hill this morning. Because it wasn't but about 2 or 3 months ago that I couldn't do that. I said, God, thank you. And I'm able to walk up this hill this morning. I didn't even get out of breath walking up. I said, God, thank you. God, thank you for this beautiful place that you're going to let us worship this morning. God, thank you right now for filling it up this morning. God, thank you for using the choir. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. I had access to God. I didn't have to call nobody. I didn't have to go to no special place and walk in and throw some money in a container and sit down in a little booth and talk to a man behind the... I'm not calling no religions out. I'm just telling you. I didn't have to do that. He probably committed worse sins yesterday than I did. I didn't have to do that. But I'm going to tell you what I was able to do this morning. Why? Because a little over 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus that made an entry into this earth. And because of that, I now have access to God today. Christ is our access. Through Jesus, we can approach the Father. Hebrews 4:16 said this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The name Christ refers to Jesus as the anointed high priest in this ministry. He addresses the Father on our behalf. He pleads our cases before the throne of God. Listen to what the Bible said, 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, listen to this, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. That word propitiation means the act of appeasing wrath or cancellation. The favor, consoling the favor of an offended person. So, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. I shouldn't be able to talk to God. You shouldn't be able to talk to God. Well, you just don't know who I am. I do. And your righteousness is as filthy rags. Well, I was planning on giving the church $100,000 next week. I hope you still do, but your righteousness is as filthy rags. We're all sinners. We all needed a Savior. And He came so that we could be accepted by God. But He came as Christ so we could have access to God. Aren't you glad in the midnight hours that all you got to do, God, I need you. God, I need a breath from you right now. Oh, yes. Savior, the title of acceptance. Christ, the title of access. Number three, I'm done. Then he said, Lord, Savior Christ the Lord. It's the title of authority. Lord is the title of authority. Can I say it this way? We're all interested in Savior. Amen. We're all, they ain't one person here that's interested in dying and going to hell. You say, well, I want to go to hell one day. Well, you've lost your mind. There ain't a person here in their right mind. We're all interested in being accepted by God. We're interested in that Savior. We're all interested in Christ, our access to God. We're interested in being able to talk to God. There's been people that, and without going into great details, a lot of people here could tell the same stories from years of being in emergency services and things of that nature, that you'll see them on their dying bed screaming out to God. They may, I've run people that I've known my life that had no use for God, no use for the things of God. Brother Jonathan, at that moment, we're all interested in access to God that comes through Christ. But let's just be real in the last 5 minutes of the service this morning. Not many is interested in Lord. Not many is interested. You see, when we say He's my Lord, we say He's my boss. Can I say it that way? We say He is my director. We say He controls my life. We want God. We want heaven. We don't want hell. But we're not real interested in His authority. He's everything today. For me, here's what the Bible said. For me to live is Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. You know what Paul was saying? He's just not Savior. He's just not Christ. He's Lord. What did he say? He said this, that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice before God. A lot of people says, well, you know, I want to be like Christ. Do you really? Do you really? Because Christ took upon Himself the form of a servant. In other words, Christ said this, it's not my will, God, but thine be done. It's not my will. Christ was saying, if it's Calvary, then that's okay. Can we say today, if it's suffering, then that's okay, Lord. He's our Lord. He's our authority today. This title is a reminder to every Christian that Jesus Christ is to be the absolute authority in our lives. We are to allow Him the headship in every area of our being. Come start playing softly, if you will, Miss Tanya. He's the Lord today. Can I ask you a question today? Is He your authority today? Do we listen to Him? There's times when in the flesh we want to say this or we want to say that or we want to do this or we want to do that. But you see, when He's Lord, we allow Him to order our steps. We allow Him to put the words in our mouth. Can I ask you this today? Is He your Christ? Have you got access to God because of Him today? Is He your acceptance? Is He your Savior? The only way that He's ever any of these is if you have invited Him into your life. If you've invited Him into your life. So to put it real simple, I would say it this way. Are you saved? Has there been that day that you realize that it's not once upon a time in a land far, far away lived a big man in the sky and decided to make two people to talk to? No. That's it. That's the greatest history book ever written. It's the only history book that can foretell the future and hit it right on, Brother Josh. It's not some fairy tale. It's not some story, as Leslie and the girls sang this morning. This thing is real. Serving Jesus is real. Walking in the presence of Christ is real. Having God living inside of me, it's real. You say, how do you know it's real? Because July the 20th, 1994... I asked Him to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins and save me. And you know what He did that very moment? He saved me. He become Christ. He become Lord. He become Savior of my life. Are you saved this morning? You know, a lot of times, this time of the year is, and matter of fact, Miss Nicole talked about it yesterday. She talked about it being a hard time of the year because Brady, which is in heaven today, loved Christmas so much. She said, but all of this that we done yesterday and preparing for it helps her cope, helps her mind, and helps her cope with Christmas. I'm going to tell you what else helps her cope is this right here. She knows there's coming a day. I'm not putting words in her mouth. I've heard her say it. That she's going to see him again. I've said this many times and I want to say it again. If someone dies, we don't lose them. We don't. If some of my family goes home to be the Lord, don't come around and say, I'm sorry for your loss. We know where they're at. They're either in heaven or hell. That's all there is to it. We haven't lost them. They're in heaven or hell. And I say this to you today. If you've got a family member that maybe this year or in years gone by has went home to be with the Lord, and boy, in your mind, you're missing them this morning, but you've never been saved, I want you to hear me for just a minute. The only way you're ever going to see him again is to allow him to become Lord of your life. That's the only way. That's the only way. I'm glad you're here this morning, but it's not going to get you there. I'm glad you're here. Man, we've got a good crowd this Sunday morning, and I'm thankful for that, but it's not going to get you there. You're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to allow him to come Lord of your life. Preacher, how do I do that? It's simple. Acknowledge you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe that God can save you because he said that he would. And see, all you got to do is call on him and ask him. Call on him and ask him. You know what the thief on the cross said? Thou enterest into thy kingdom, Lord, remember me. And you know what happened? Old boy got saved right there. Hanging on. Never got baptized, but he made it to heaven. Salvation is not in baptism. It's in being. It's in putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll do that, I've got good news. There's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, is here. And he'll save you today. Father, as we stand.